This is Coast Community Radio, KMU and Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. It is time for Arts Live and Local. It's Friday, March 6th, and it's not raining. Says it's 52 degrees outside, and there is a chance of rain tonight. Tomorrow, all the same, maybe rain, maybe not, and 45 degrees, maybe 50, and 32, 35 overnight. That's pretty much the weather coming up. Welcome to everyone listening. Squamish, Robin, Sydney, Omaha, Seashell, the birthday day after, brother in Long Beach, Susan in New York, Bob and Vivian as well, the Wyoming crew, the Nova Scotians, and all the rest of you. And I want to welcome a large number of folks who are coming into town, perhaps on their way now. Weekend in Quest from the Institute of Judaic Studies, and it's going to be a terrific weekend. In addition, I want to say my personal goodbyes to a community member who gave a huge, tremendous contribution to this larger community. I'm talking about Tom Bender, environmental architect, spiritual human being, laughing man, drummer. Tom Bender moved on to the next plane. And so we all say our goodbyes with gratitude. Got some music for you to start off my first guests. Here's a little Archie Fisher from Ireland.
It was out in the long spring grass, she said, when the night was soft on the hill. He touched my ear with his voice, she said, and my blood ran sweet and chill. I laugh in my sleep at their jibes, she said, though they call me old maid still. I have seen them sprinkled weed. Young girls fondled and wed. I've watched their dreams grow as gray as the hair that the limping sheepdog shed. But mine are as green as the tall pines that lean by Loch Earn Head. And he never came back to my father's byre. Yet on an April night, when the moon sits fat on a scudding cloud and the stars are quick and white, I have known his clutch like a cloak of fire and his limbs like swords of light. And my eyes wet by the fire, she said, but not with lust or shame. I mourn no shepherd laid low in the hill. I weep in the starry flame with the joy of what I can never lose, but what I dare not name. It was out in the long spring grass, she said.
Some music from Archie Fisher. The Presence. And I chose that particular piece intentionally because we have a theater production coming up. I'm still not familiar with it, but I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. And my guests are here to tell you about it, but I will say it is set in Ireland, as is Archie Fisher, who, by the way, visited Astoria some years ago and played a concert at the Performing Arts Center. So, director of the play, my favorite, Karen Bain. Hi, Karen.
Hi, my favorite.
And someone brand new to me, cast member Rick Gray. Hi, Rick.
Hello, how are you?
Good. And Rick, is this your first time on KMUN?
It is.
Is it your first time on radio?
No. I've been on radio for a while. I think my first time on radio was 4.
Okay.
So it's been a long time.
A few years, yeah. I can vouch for that. Well, you are, however, or you were until you spoke, a KMUN virgin. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. Now you're one of
us. Thank you for being gentle.
Yes. Well, but this play, on the other hand, I'm not sure how gentle it is. It's called The Weir, spelled
W-E-I-R.
Right.
Like and, weird without a D.
Right. And it is by Connor McPherson, or McPherson, if you want to say it. It is playing at the 1015 Theater, which is coincidentally at 1015 Commercial Street in Astoria. Not a coincidence. And it is opening a week from tonight, Friday the 13th. Also not a coincidence, running through till the 28th with Fridays and Saturdays at 7:15 and Sunday, two Sundays at 2:15.
The times have changed.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, 7:30 in the evening.
Okay. I saw that in the paper and I wondered.
Yeah, and 3:30 on the Sundays.
Okay. 3:30. Okay.
But never at 10:15. That's important.
Okay.
It's the theater, but not the time.
That's right. 3:30 and 7:30. Well, it's okay if you get there early. Just don't get there late. Right. You come at 7:15, as a matter of fact, you will want to. You can buy your tickets at libertyastoria.org. Now, let's find out what we're talking about. I just wanted to give you the logistics. We'll give them to you again at the end. So, Karen, what is this play and why did you choose it?
This is an Irish play. It was written in 1998. It's a beautiful story. It takes place in a small rural Irish pub, and four men and a woman end up coming together, and they tell haunted stories to each other.
I spent practically every night I was in Ireland for how many weeks in pubs. I don't remember any haunted tales. Perhaps this is very rural.
It is very rural.
Okay. And are you at liberty to tell us, or do you feel like telling us any more, or do you want everything to be a surprise?
I kind of like it to be a surprise. It's a multidimensional play. It's beautiful. The characters are beautiful. The interactions are very real.
Nice. And can you tell us who we've got? Rick Gray as one of the cast members. Who are the others?
Simon Carone, Nancy Montgomery. Mm-hmm. A lot of fans out there for Nancy. Mm-hmm. Bennett Hunter.
Oh, yeah. The young.
Young.
Yeah.
He's wonderful.
He is wonderful.
And Mick Alderman.
And he's also wonderful. And I didn't know the first person you mentioned. But
He's new. Uh-huh. He was in my acting class last term. This is his first play.
Oh, wow.
And he's hanging on with everybody. He's keeping up.
That's terrific. And before I move over to Rick and find out about your theater background, where you came from, what are you doing here in this play, and how you got to Karen. Can you give us a little bit of your theater background? Because you've been on stage acting as well as directing for many years, and you've studied, I'm sorry, but you're my favorite. That's just the way it is. And yes, I was in a play with Karen, and I will never forget it.
So, me neither.
Yeah. So what is your background in theater? Because you're also a visual artist.
Mm-hmm. I wrote and directed my first play in the fifth grade.
Oh.
So I sort of,
here we go.
Things were destined.
Mm-hmm.
As much as my dad wanted me to go into advertising, I stuck with theater. And I have an MFA, Master of Fine Arts in Theater from University of Oregon.
And you've also gone back to school, I don't know, a few years ago, and done some, or taken courses in...
I went down to L.A. and did a director's forum there,
right.
Which was very interesting. Whenever I can, I try and pick up more to play with.
And be around other people who are perhaps doing some similar stuff so you can trade off.
Yeah.
Rick, who are you? Have you been here for a while?
And not that long.
Okay.
Not that long. I've been here since the summer of 2018.
Not that long.
Nope.
Right. And have you been doing theater?
For quite a while. I started doing theater when I was taking a very boring graduate program at the University of Virginia when I was 39. And I had to do something because I was... didn't have a lot to do, and I went and auditioned for Much Ado About Nothing and wound up in a production with a really remarkable cast, including a third-year undergraduate named Tina Fey.
I think we've heard of her, yes.
Well, nobody knew that she was going to be
of
Tina
course.
Fey, but she was.
Was that her actual name?
Yeah.
Good. She had a good name for theater. So you... got into it late as opposed to...
Yes.
What'd you say, fifth grade, mm-hmm. Writing plays, 39?
That was 39.
Which is good information that people can pick something up. And it was for a diversion, basically.
At the time, after 3 years, I went pro and spent about 6 years working professionally.
In theater,
yeah.
What kind of professionally? What did you do?
I would say that my best gig by far was... 16 weeks, 8 shows a week in a dinner theater in Boca Raton, Florida, playing Henry Higgins.
So you sing as well?
I do, although I didn't do much singing as Henry Higgins.
Right.
One of the things my director told me down there was, he said, all the people who are going to be seeing this show are coming down from New York. They will have seen the original. And if you don't start out as Rex Harrison, they won't believe you. You've got to give them 20 minutes of Rex, and then you can do it your way.
That is very... Karen, do you agree with that philosophy?
Yeah.
That's great. In Boca Raton, I can imagine.
Oh, it was crazy.
But wait a minute. You said you did it... You picked it up at 39. You did it for 3 years, and you got so... sucked in and heavily hooked that you ended up going pro.
Yep.
Which means you got paid for acting.
So to speak. I mean, it's theater.
It's arts.
So we have a brand new beginner and we have an old pro together.
Yeah. And I would consider, although I would not consider Nancy or Mick old, I would consider them in the pro department, veteran actors, I guess I would say. So, and is this your first play here, or have you?
I did one at the Coaster last winter of Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. You're retired from a date job now, or? Because I suspect you're not getting paid for this play.
I guess you'd say I'm retired. I'm working on a novel, so you know that I have no day job specifically.
Right. And you're living here.
Living
this
in Cannon
is your
Beach.
Chosen. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. How's it been working with Karen?
Oh, lovely. Karen's a wonderful director, and she's one of the kind of director I like the best is the director who can. There are two things I really love about a director. One is the ability to create a community of collaboration, which she does. And the other one is the ability to give the big note. A lot of directors give you a lot of little picky notes, but the big note that sort of makes you think and transforms a lot of things, that's much more helpful to the way my brain works.
I think it's much more helpful, period.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen Karen, besides what she did for me, I've seen her do that for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'll never forget it was at the Coaster, actually, it was the Sherlock one, where the mother of the actor was totally blown away mm-hmm. at what Karen had done to bring her son out. You remember that was amazing.
Well, I'll have to, you know, back that up. I mean, Simon, the new guy at our show, you would swear he'd been doing it for years. Beautiful. I mean, it's not just the acting itself, but his awareness of mm-hmm. other people on stage, his ability to adjust when something goes a little wrong or whatever, that's not something you expect in somebody who's a theater virgin.
Right.
And he's really well-trained.
Right. So it's been a good collaboration.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fun. Great. Yeah. And this is a great group of people to work with.
Yes, you've joined the right group.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a small group, and it's in an intimate theater, mm-hmm. which is very exciting. For those of you in the audience who haven't been to the 1015 Theater, it was just created last year, called Peer Pressure Productions, which is the theater troupe. And Derek Moore and Susie Brown created the place and the concept. And now it's taking off, and I hope that everyone will get a chance. Why should people come and see The Weir? And is it all age?
It has strong language.
Okay.
Very. Yeah, I would say you have to make a judgment about that.
Okay, so
One of the five stories that are told during the course of the play, it's basically a storytelling play.
Yeah.
And one of the five stories that is at the heart of it would be disturbing to some young people, I think, maybe a little bit.
Little people. So in that case, they would be coming with parents, so it's up to the adults to decide. Mm-hmm. So maybe adults come first, and then come and bring your kids if you think it would be appropriate, because I know it's going to be a fantastic play. Again, it opens in a week from tonight, March, that's Friday the 13th, March 13th, runs through the 28th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, and then there are two matinees, Sunday, the 15th of March, and the 22nd of March, and that's at 3:30 in the afternoon. That's a nice, I like that time of day. Yes, yes. And it's a long one act, but you mentioned that it will be preceded by live Irish music.
Absolutely.
That's
fantastic. We're
very
excited about that. It'll be a half an hour of Irish music, live Irish music, and then the play lasts about an hour and a half or so.
Oh,
and there's no intermission.
Right, right.
There is a little.
Between the music.
Between the music.
Right. Between the music.
But once the play starts, there's no intermission.
Okay,
right.
Which is good information for a lot of us who have needs. So live music led by, did you say?
Derek.
Derek Moore will be leading. He's got the right name for it anyway. And Derek Moore is the proprietor, actor, musician, contractor, builder. And at this point, Derek and friends are going to be giving us a half an hour of live music. And yes, St. Patrick's Day is coming up right in the middle of all that. So sounds appropriate. Did you choose the time? Because no, isn't that? I love it. I love when that happens, though. Okay, you can check it out some more. Get your tickets at libertyastoria.org. And just keep on scrolling until you find The Weir, W-E-I-R, by Connor McPherson. Karen Bain is directing, and Rick Gray is one of five cast members. I'm looking at Nancy is the only woman,
right.
Is the thing. So, and Mick, and the new man,
Simon.
Simon, and Rick. Who's the fifth?
Bennett,
of course. I don't know Benny. Oh, Bennett's the young one. I do know. He's the one who took a Reader's Theater piece and memorized the whole thing, the Barbara Streisand's Basement piece. It was phenomenal. It was at the McTavish Room.
Oh.
You'll be surprised at Bennett, though. He's got really red hair right now.
Oh, quite Irish, is he?
He looks, oh yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in. I am so excited to see this play. Yes, I am excited to see anything that Karen Bain puts her hands on or in. And this is going to be a good one. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay. Got some more music here. March 8th is International Women's Day. This is March, which is Women's History Month. But we know that women's history is every day, every month. Coming up is a significant piece of theater as well. And I've got a piece of music from Greece for you. Thanks for being here at Coast Community Radio.
Δίχως γυρισμό όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Φίλοι, ίδιος ο πόνος για τους δυο καρδιά μου όταν ράγισει το γυαλί. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή.
Okay. Oh, I love Greek music. I'm really loving what I'm doing today. This is a packed show, so we're going to keep moving. But, yeah, I hope some of you are up and dancing to that. We've got more dance music happening, but later on that. Right now, I have two... Well, you look familiar, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, we've met a couple times.
Yes, we have met. Now that you're sitting in here, yeah. I recognize you. But so that would be Bethlehem Huntley. And we're going to get you nice and close to the mic, oh, all
yes.
of you.
Okay. Now,
you know, that. And now, brand new to me, however, we are sister New Yorkers, is Jabrielle Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome.
Thank
this
you.
Is so exciting. Having New Yorkers in the room always gets me.
We need
me.
More. I know.
Yeah, we need. Did you hear how she said that? With gusto. Okay, you New Yorkers listening, we got a real one here. Okay, and with them is their instructor, I believe. Is that correct?
Club advisor.
Oh, club advisor. And I never know what hat he's wearing, but he is wearing a hat, but I'm not sure which. The club advisor, who would be none other than Dee Guidi. It's a family day here.
Yes.
And they are here. The club, tell us about the club. What is the name of the club? Jabrielle.
GSA stands for Gay Straight Alliance.
Okay.
And I think it's been absent from our campus for
ever.
More than forever and a day. We'll just call it good with that one. And we are in less than one term. We are so far 34 members strong, and that's a big deal for a school that has less than 1,000 students.
That's fantastic. Yeah, good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. The reason they're here is that I believe you are sponsoring the production of Eve Ensler's Vagina Monologues, which is happening tonight and tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, are you both in it?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And Gabrielle is the director
really?
Yes, ma'am. And I'm the inaugural. Yeah, and I'm the inaugural president of the GSA Club. So.
Okay, I'm going to get back to that because I need to know. By the way, she's not just a New Yorker. She's a Brooklynite. The best.
The absolute best.
But where is this happening? There's been some dispute. Where is
really?
It taking
it
place?
It is happening on the third floor commons area of Toller Hall tonight.
Okay, Toller Hall. That's what's been advertised. For some reason, I thought it was in the art gallery. So
it was last year.
Last year. Yeah.
Yes, and I will take this second to say that Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, and by the way, Blind Pilot was on the last show with Israel Nebuchadnezzar as the lead. Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery is featuring Au Naturel. Mm. If you haven't seen that show, get up there fast. Mm-hmm. It's coming down on, I believe, the 10th. So get up there and see it. It's the nude in the 21st century. There's some gorgeous works there. And Henk Pander was the adjudicator. Of course, you're the professor of rhetoric. I was just going to say the judge.
Like,
adjudicator.
I hate interrupting people.
No,
I'm so
I love
sorry.
It. I love it. You can interrupt me anytime.
You are the best.
Yeah. See what I mean? We have mutual admiration. So what is your background, Gabrielle, that you are directing the play?
Oh my goodness.
How long have you been here in Astoria?
A little over a year.
Okay. Now, folks, in case you're getting confused, that's Astoria, Oregon, not Astoria, New York.
Queens.
Not Queens. Okay. So what have you done? You must be experienced.
I'm not experienced as a director. This is my debut as a director. I was, once upon a time, I was an actress. So
okay.
A working actress. I actually paid the rent a few times.
Where was that?
That was in California.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. I lived in San Francisco and I used to catch the red eye, if that's still a thing, and commute to Los Angeles.
Oh, yes. The red eye. Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
And now, are you living here or just coming to school here?
We're currently living here, my husband and I.
Mm-hmm.
And he also is a student at Clatsop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he's getting his associate in science, and I'm getting my associate of arts, and then eventually the goal is to go back home to Los Angeles. So
okay, yeah. Okay. Well, let's keep her for a while, huh?
Absolutely.
I think so. I think that
Absolutely.
Needs to happen. Bethlehem, have you done the Vagina Monologues here before?
No. This will be first time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's really exciting so far. We've had a lot of amazing individuals take part in making the production, set up supplies and everything. And it's been a wonderful experience so far.
Did you meet new people in the play? Is everyone in the play connected to GSA or just?
This is the first year that the Vagina Monologues was a student initiative production.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a performing arts per se at Clatsop. We wanted to start performing.
Thank you.
It's
used
important.
To have performing arts.
Once upon a time. Yeah.
And we will again.
Yeah.
That's why you have to stick around.
And that's why we have a subcommittee through GSA to, we're going to be, we're the Bandit Players. That's our mascot, raccoon, you know. So,
good.
But this is our first production and it kind of just fell into our lap really fast and we had to do it really fast. So we haven't even had our first official club meeting yet. Like this took precedence over that. So yeah, but we're very excited.
And the cast folks in Vagina Monologues, are they affiliated with GSA or not necessarily?
They are.
They're
all club members with the exception of one faculty member.
Okay.
And we have two representatives from the Harbor because it is a fundraiser for the Harbor.
Good point.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding us. Yes. So tell us, have you done more theater, Bethlehem?
No, the most that I've done is just performing music in front of people.
So what kind of music do you
play? I do rap music, and it's like kind of more poetic, so it's got kind of a spoken word vibe to it, but it's kind of its own thing.
Okay. Yeah. But I bet this would probably work. Now, are you doing your pieces in rap?
No. Okay. Just reading off the script.
Right.
But I actually have been on this radio like twice now, and I showed some of my music while I was here.
Cool. Very
Dylan,
cool.
So,
very
yeah.
cool. Well, I'm excited. I love the idea that the student initiative idea, mm-hmm. because that's what education's about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you got your advisor here. We've got the institution up on the hill. It's all about inspiring, educating folks to be able to take off. So thank you, Jabrielle, for taking on leadership.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome.
I just want to end with, they have done the casting. They have done the sets.
Wow.
They have done the props. It is completely generated from them, and I couldn't be more impressed or more proud.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a really fantastic evening.
I was hoping that perhaps it might be repeated, you know, after all. You know, seriously, it could
tomorrow.
Be. I know. It's Friday and Saturday night, and the time is 7 o'clock. It's in Towler Hall, third floor. Best thing to do is what? Park up on the hill.
Park up on the hill.
Maybe even behind, yeah.
Columbia, even.
Yeah. So if... here's a good trick, folks. I shouldn't be giving you this because I'll lose my parking spot. But if you, KMUN is on 14th. If you go up 14th and then you take your left, you will see that there is a small driveway that takes you into the parking lot behind Columbia Hall. If you don't know where this is, there an address that people can put it in their
1651 Lexington Avenue.
Oh, okay. So if you aren't sure where we're talking about, put that in your GSA and get to
your
the
GSA?
Area. Oh, sorry. What's
yeah. No, let's put it in your GSA.
See the GSA in your Chevrolet.
You know, you realize, can you tell? I have never had a GPS. I have one now, and I still don't quite know how to use it. It's in the car. I don't have a cell phone.
That's okay. I'm only 37, and I still have Rand McNally in the glove compartment. So.
Good. Did you hear that, folks? Compartment. She is a New Yorker. I'm so happy to meet you and to see you again. Yes. Bethlehem and Jabrielle. Bethlehem Huntley and Jabrielle Jones. If you are not familiar with the Vagina Monologues, it's been going how many years now?
This is our sixth season.
Sixth season at the college.
Correct.
And it's been in the world for even longer, I think.
Since the 1990s. Yeah.
1990s. Yeah. Okay.
25 years.
Yeah. I've seen it many times by many different groups, and it is different every time. And this time, for sure, it will be different because of what Deke just told you. It's entirely a student initiative. So... Jabrielle Jones, director and cast member, Bethlehem Huntley, cast member, and how many others are there?
There's 10 of us total.
10 of you total. Mm-hmm. And will you be wearing any special clothes?
We got some, just our blue jeans, a solid color black top, and we're going to deck it out with our favorite hues of reds and pinks.
I love it. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, tonight, folks, anywhere they can get more information on this?
We do have a Facebook page. It's CCC's production of Vagina Monologues.
There you go. And, you know, wasn't too long ago that you'd get slapped down for saying the word vagina on the radio. And now we've got everybody saying it because it's the name of the show. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you for having us.
Very
Thank
exciting.
You.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Terrific. Wow. It gets better and better around here. New venues, new people, new concepts. It's just fantastic. Speaking of new concepts, I have something else here that is new to our area. It started last year with a single venue, and now it's in three venues. And the this is the Pacific Story Slam. And I have a story for you, Navy John. And I want to give a big shout out to Cindy Price and to Diana Kirk. And stay tuned because there's going to be more. There's going to be, here it is. Yes. So the theme was life-changing. The winning story at Workers Tavern was told by John, a retired Navy man who now works seasonally at Fort Stevens State Park, Into the Fire by Navy John.
You know, as we get older and everything, there are so many things that happen in our lives, it's hard to figure out where that seminal moment is where it changed you in a way that would last forever. Back in the early 80s, I was down in Klamath Falls, and I was a volunteer of one of the local fire departments. So I got a call one night about 2:30 in the morning. There was a structure fire, and I just happened to live across the street from the fire department, so I got into the first rig, is what we called the quick response rig. Knew other guys were going to show up with two other engine companies and a truck company. They roll in there. Well, the garage is on fire. The corner of the house is on fire. The lady's outside screaming about, "My babies, my babies." I was like, oh, shit. So we finally get the class a rig in there because you don't ever enter the place on your own. You got to go in with a partner. So Mike, who was a big old blonde-headed millwright from warehouse, said, "All right, John, we're going to back up and go in." I said, okay. So here was the problem. Back then, with our MSA air masks we had on, we didn't have means of communicating. We didn't have telemetry at that time. So you're working in the blind, and you're going in that door. They've already got the truckies up on the roof. They've got to ventilate, but that is not always effective to release some of the flammable gases and smoke and stuff like that. You're blind. You cannot see in front of you, so you're down on all fours. And we're looking for the babies. And this woman's going nuts. They're trying to hold her back. And Mike and I go in. And he said, "I'm going to the left." I said, "I'm going to the right." So we're crawling through this bungalow looking for the babies. Somehow made it all the way up to the front, got into this bedroom. Well, I'm feeling around. I felt something. Well, I got gloves on. So you really don't have a good sense of touch. But I just grabbed this small thing. And got to work my way back. I don't even know what the hell I got in my hands. All I know is I can't see, I can't hear, I can't communicate, and I don't really know where the fuck I'm at right now. It's like, ugh, I just want to get out of there, you know? It's like, this is a survival instinct. I was scared, man. It's like, damn, this is crazy. The thing is, it just something natural kicked in. One way or the other, I'm coming out of here with whatever I've got here. And I'm worried about Mike, too. He's my partner. And somehow we made it out of the house. The baby was the cat. Really? You know? And Mike and I pulled, and we're just filthy right now. We had yellow turnouts that turned black and brown, and we're all sweaty and everything. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, the next time somebody screams about babies, we're going to have to ask which type." But the thing is, we were talking, doing a debrief, which we always did. Our assistant fire chief, Ed Cady, was excellent about getting guys together after we cleaned the rigs up and repacked the hoses and put the old ones up. And he asked me, he said, "Where's your head at right now?" I said, "You know, Ed, I had to live in shit scared out of me because I did not really have a good feel for where I was at. And operating blind ain't no fun." And he said, "Here's the thing, John. You figured out a way to overcome your fears, and that'll serve you well for the rest of your life."
Yeah. And I'm sure it will, because he was the winner. Next week's theme for the Pacific Story Slam is Secrets and Lies. Pacific Story Slam continues through March 19th, Mondays at North Beach Tavern in Long Beach, Wednesdays at Workers Tavern in Astoria, and Thursdays at Maggie's on the Prom in Seaside. Semifinals are the week of March 30th, and the Grand Slam is Friday, April 10th in the Lovell Showroom at Fort George Brewery, and you will be hearing more from these folks on the 27th right here on this show. And congratulations to all of them, to John, to all of the folks taking part. It's pretty fantastic. So, Jennifer Crockett is here with me, the executive director of the Liberty I was going to say the Liberty Museum. Did you hear?
We're very much open.
Very much alive, too. The Liberty Theater in Astoria, that's 12th and Commercial. And tomorrow evening, Arcturus Quintet will be offering a concert. They are part, is that right? They're part of 45th Parallel?
Yeah. They're one of the ensembles under the umbrella of 45th Parallel.
That 45th Parallel has got me hooked entirely. Anything that any of their people do, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
They align really well with what we want to present in classical music. It's traditional music, it's modern music, it's living composers, it's interesting instrumentations. They're great. They've been a great partnership.
And you've got more of them coming up as well.
Yeah, we do. We have a percussion ensemble coming in April, and then we have kind of a treat for our audiences at the end of the season in May. We've got a string quartet with prepared piano. Should be really interesting.
What does that mean?
It means you temporarily alter your piano to make different sounds than you are used to hearing out of a piano. So it's pretty exciting, especially on our Steinway on the stage. It's going to be magnificent.
I'm glad you're allowing the Steinway to take part in this.
We're
don't tell them.
We're being very careful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So the advice I have for everybody listening, whether you live here or not, is to go to libertyastoria.org and take a look. There is a huge array of music, theater, not just at the Liberty. The 1015 Theater is on there. Kala is on there. But check it out, because there is music at the Liberty for everybody these days. It's very exciting. So thanks for doing it, Jennifer. How many years have you been here?
Just over three. So 3 years at the theater, 4 years in town.
Fantastic. You have been a real godsend to this, the entire Liberty Theater family and this entire community. Thanks. You've done a fabulous job. And I know you have a terrific board.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of good help and some awesome volunteers, too.
Oh, yeah. Why, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to let Jennifer slip away because I still have lots more guests. And my next guests are sitting right here. That would be, and she's going to send the next folks over. Annie Eskelin and Drea Frost are here to give us a quick update on why you need to get your act together for the CORE. And what the heck is the CORE? That's spelled C-O-A-R. Annie.
Hi, Carol. Great to be here. The CORE is the Coastal Oregon Artist Residency. It's a partnership between Astoria Visual Arts and Recology. And we have a very important upcoming deadline of March 31st for this annual program.
And Drea, you were one of the CORE artists, weren't you?
I was. Hi.
Hi. Oh, sorry. Drea Frost, who is one of those artists who shows up all over the place, which is wonderful. So how was that? I mean, you were on this show, so I know, but the folks listening might not have heard.
Yeah. So I applied last year, and I got it with another artist, Jeremy Furnish. And it was incredible. I mean, it offers you like mini residencies, artist residencies. They offer you the chance to work sort of uninhibited in a way. You can just sort of explore. And in this particular residency, you're collecting materials from the Recycle Center. And so you don't know what you're going to get. So it is really interesting happening.
If I meant to bring in a garbage song, but I didn't have time for it.
I kept referring it to the rubbish art
rubbish, that's good too. The thing is, they start with rubbish, but they end up with amazing art.
And yeah, that's the hope, right?
And you and Jeremy were a great match. Well, I think everybody who's done it has been terrific, but you were a great match because your stuff was so different.
Yeah.
And he's does so much sculpture.
Yeah.
And metal sculpture and other stuff. And when I went to see the show, it was over at Anita's, and it was just beautiful.
And that is the best thing, too, about this residency is that they really, AVA and Recology, they put together the show for you, which is, as an artist, it's incredible. It's sort of like this pop-up gallery, and the work that you're putting into it is really, you know, making the work, and, you know, not to say that that's nothing, but it is awesome to, at the end of all of that, to have someone sort of take the reins and put together this fabulous show.
With a artistic but outside vision.
Yeah.
And then see how it all fits together.
Yeah.
Great.
And the residency itself is really wonderful, but it also is especially draws a lot of artists because artists get paid while they're during the residency. And we've also, Recology has expanded the residency for an extra month. So it's 5 months.
It
starts May 1st.
Fantastic.
And it's $1,000 a month. So, I mean, that's a fantastic summer job.
Okay, folks.
It is.
Wasn't yours 4 months?
It was four.
And before that, it was 3 months.
So Drea and Jeremy both, part of the feedback was that it just wasn't quite long enough.
Right.
Recology heard him.
Wow.
Answered.
Mm-hmm.
And
fantastic.
So strengthening the program.
So artists out there. If they need more information and want to know more about this and where to apply.
So the prospectus is on Astoria's website.
Astoria Visual Arts.
So you have to look at the prospectus so you know how to apply. So it's definitely an online thing. It's only via email. So check out astoriavisualarts.org.
Right. And Annie is the director of...
I am.
...of AVA. And so... She can answer all your questions.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And is there a place on the web for people to contact besides applying?
Sure. AstoriaVisualArts@gmail.com.
They can certainly answer questions.
If they want more specific questions about the program, the prospectus has Recology's email.
Good.
It's a little bit long to mention right now. But
Also, I think you have to be 18 to be doing this.
Probably. This residency is meant for career artists.
Yeah. It is. Read about it and find out. It is so exciting.
Oh, the other thing I want to mention is that this is normally Astoria Visual Arts is just Greater Astoria. This program extends to 5 counties. So it's Clatsop County, Columbia County, Tillamook County, Pacific, and Wakayakum. So you can't live over an hour driving distance from the transfer station.
Right.
But that expands our reach a lot.
This is very exciting also because the program started in San Francisco. And I think they are amazed at what's happening up here, at how beautifully our artists and the whole program is. Obviously, they're expanding it. Must be good. Thank you so much. I know we're running quickly, but I do have some more folks out there who need to come in and talk about what they're doing. So, again, AstoriaVisualArts.org. Go there. Get the rest of the information. Take a look at the prospectus. If you have any questions, AstoriaVisualArts@gmail.com.
Yep.
And that will get you to Annie Eskelin. And my other guest is Drea Frost. And you can find Annie is also a working artist. I won't say practicing that. You do that when you're a musician. Yeah. When you're an artist, you're working. So,
slaving.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'm going to put on some music from my next guests. And maybe you'll recognize them. Okay, folks, you get it? Two-thirds of my group are the founders and the wild men of three-legged torso. Rawr. That is they, right there. That I don't even know who did that. Oh, that was Courtney.
Indeed it was.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi. Courtney, that is quite the hairdo, I must admit.
Well, I was sitting outside in the waiting room, and someone was telling me I looked like I could be in...
Duran Duran.
That's
Sherlock of Seagulls.
pretty wild.
Yes, I guess so.
So that is Courtney. And on the other side is Bela.
He's on your left speaker.
And in between is the lucky and lone young woman in the group of tonight, and that would be Minta.
Hi.
And these three folks, it's just the three of you, though, tonight, right?
No. Oh. We're going to have our bass player, Bill Athens, who's on the road right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's on his way here.
Wow.
Yeah, we're really excited because he's a really, really good person, but also a great bass player.
Fantastic. This is happening at Carruthers. That's at right kitty corner from the Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial, and on the north side. And they've done it before, and it was a fabulous night. They make music and tell stories because you can't have these two guys together without stories. So, yeah. And Minta's the lucky person who gets to be with them.
We're lucky to have her with us.
I know. I was kind of being generous.
Cheeky. a little bit cheeky.
But Minta, how is it to play with them? You're aging with these two in your life. How is that?
Yeah. My sleepiness. I mean, it's always been kind of chill. I like having.
Is that a good thing?
Chill is
well,
a good thing.
Chill,
says, yeah.
But it's also kind of fun and hyper at the same time, energetic, and it's fun.
And every year that Minta ages, because you say we're aging together, but we get younger.
Yeah.
So eventually we're going to all be the same age.
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
Yeah. Mentally at least.
Yeah. We're mentally the same age.
So the performance, why don't you tell us what you're going to be doing? I'll just say I was there last time, and I and everyone else there was blown away by the wonderful music. And also, when Minta opens her mouth and this voice comes out of her that is hard to put together with this tiny little body, she it may be growing taller, I can't tell, but she hasn't put on any weight the other direction.
But her voice gets larger and larger.
It's huge and beautiful.
Yep. In fact, your dad was telling me they're going to have to buy a bigger car to carry your voice.
No, that's, really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do tonight? What kind of music are we going to be hearing?
Well, you know what's kind of funny, Carol, is that when we planned this, we were going to do it around St. Patrick's Day, but then it didn't work out for that date. And so what we did was we decided, well, we're going to do a Patrick's Day show, and it was about St. Patrick before he became a saint. So
I remember reading this now. Thank
you.
Right? So tell the story now. What does that mean?
Well,
was Patrick?
Well, Patrick was this gentleman who was roaming the lonely fields of Ireland, and just looking for that lucky four-leaf clover, you know, the shamrock, And what happened was there were snakes in these fields,
ooh,
and scared him because he was terrified of snakes back,
ooh,
then, right? And so and then he discovered a way to rid all the snakes of Ireland by playing his accordion.
I think it was to rid Ireland of all the snakes.
Oh, yes. Is that what did I have that backwards?
Yeah,
all the accordions. Oh wow, I thought I had this one down.
Yeah.
But and you did. You were doing a great job,
close.
There, Bela. But I think Patrick. When he started playing the accordion, and that's it's almost the invention of Irish music, because when he started playing the accordion, all the snakes. I mean, they have nothing against Irish music, but they just, they don't like the accordion. It's really,
So, but that's how he became a saint. That's how he became canonized.
Oh, by ridding Ireland of
all
snakes.
The snakes. Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
See what I mean, folks? You will be getting stories tonight. Like, don't believe a thing they say because, but actually, they're, I don't have time to go into the history. Look them up. What's your website?
ThreeLegTorso.com, and it's the
number three.
Yeah, it's the number three leg torso. And there's a, that's pretty cool. And go to our Facebook page because there is an actual video that, an old film that we had unearthed and of St. Patrick, actually.
Patrick.
Right. Yeah, really, it's a historic video.
Archival footage.
Yeah.
Yep, and it, I mean, we told the story verbally, and I'm sure you, the listener, pictured it in your head.
Yeah.
But you should see it on the actual footage from
1640. Yeah, it's very aged.
And while you're there, check out more of their music. I play it all the time. I love this band, Three Leg Torso. How many people do you have in the band these days?
We're a quartet.
Quartet, yeah. Okay. And tonight there'll be a trio and their guest singer, Minta Hefker. And Minta, what are you going to be singing tonight?
Well, if you're not able to come.
No, you're coming.
Well, yeah, it, but.
Go ahead.
Yes. So. I think it's a surprise, and you'll have to wait until you come.
Okay.
Mint has been learning hanging out with us.
Yeah.
But we don't want to fully let the cat out of the bag what we're going to do with Minta, but we do want to say every time that we get to perform with Minta, it's such a treat. I think, as you were talking earlier, Minta has a fabulous voice, and she's such a good kid. So we always have a great time doing music with Minta.
Music with Minta.
Yeah.
It sounds like a program.
Yep.
Well, the piece that I played from there, this is their 05 album, but I chose it. It was Zemeratik and Tanz Yidlach. And I chose that intentionally because I wanted to, again, welcome 70, 75 people coming from Portland for Weekend in Quest from the Institute of Judaic Studies. So they'll all be hanging out in Astoria this weekend, and
we look forward to seeing them. Probably they're going to come to Carruthers tonight at 7 o'clock.
You never know.
Yeah.
I expect to see
some of them there.
So, but you folks, be sure to go to Carruthers. Now, do people need to make reservations?
Highly recommend.
Okay.
Yes.
So I don't have the number here, but you can look it up, Carruthers with two R's, and right here in Astoria. I agree, especially if you want to have a seat. And it's a good idea.
It will be fun.
I did it last time. Tomorrow, tonight at
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Folks.
It's going to be fabulous.
Not enough for you to choose from? I'm so sorry. Okay, I will, I want to put on.
I will change my life for you, Tallulah May. I'll take my wild times and I'll leave them all behind. I'll do it all for you, Tallulah May. I can throw away my demons, no, I don't really need them. All I need is you, Tallulah May. Well, tequila, gin, and whiskey.
That's all I have time to give you, but that is Keena Lynn Muir and Michael Bigley and Josh Hansen. And Keena and Matt are going to be tonight and tomorrow night at the Pickled Fish of the Adrift Hotel. And they are delightful. Yeah, Keena Lynn Muir. Oh, boy. Okay, I better take that out, otherwise I won't be able to tell you what else is happening, and I really need to because in addition to the Vagina Monologues tonight and tomorrow night, Carruthers with the Meesters and Minta tonight only, the Astoria Arts and Movement Center is featuring the Contra Dance with the Horsenecks. Chautauqua Lodge has the Celtic Music Festival Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Long Beach. Papa Fort Columbia Theater is the almost main. Bay City Arts Center has an art reception for Christine Egan.